President Barack Obama will be addressing the nation, apparently 11:30. And let's just say, with all the Democrats that are nervous for their phony baloney jobs that have been running to the White House since last week, it started with the 16 Democratic senators that went over last week to meet with the president and others that kind of had a conniption, to say the least, with Obama last week. Then there were House Democrats yesterday. And you heard me talk about that with Congressman Elijah Cummings. They went to meet with him. So all of that now has put things in a position where the president will be addressing the nation today at 11:30. And apparently he has a fix that he will be presenting, or at least attempting to present, to the nation. So I want to talk about that now with United States Senator Ben Cardin, who joins us now. Good morning, Senator.
C4, it's always nice to be on your show. Hope you're well.
You as well, sir. Let me ask you this. I had Congressman Elijah Cummings on in the last half hour, and I want to ask you, you can't anticipate, of course, what the president is going to say, but the news that's leaking out is at 11:30, an hour from now, President Obama will be coming up with a fix, apparently, to what are some 5 million people, as of now, that are receiving cancellation notices. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, let's put the problems in perspective. I think the number one concern right now is that individuals who need to get health insurance, whether they have insurance now, it's being canceled, or they don't have health insurance, that they can go online, shop, and enroll under the exchanges that are operating. And that's not being done today. That's critically important to get that fixed. Now, in regards to people who had health insurance and for whatever reasons that they're being terminated, we would like to get these people insured. We want to make sure they're insured. We want to make sure they have a good product. So in Maryland, CareFirst is making arrangements to extend policies so people will not go without coverage. We want to make sure people are not adversely affected by the passage of this law.
So 73,000, let me ask you, 73,000 people, though, Senator, that received those cancellation letters, you're saying that CareFirst is reaching back out to them?
Yes. Many of those are being, they're reaching out to make sure they can extend the policies beyond January 1st.
Okay, so you're saying that the president then, using that as a microcosm, is going to be, you think, addressing that in a macro way coming up this morning?
I don't know what the president's going to suggest. The president may very well, we never said the law was perfect. He might have a way in which we can protect those people who've lost their coverage. I'm obviously interested in what the president has to say. So if we do want to make sure that those people who have cancellation notices are insured on January 1st. That's our, and that they have affordable coverage comparable to either the same or comparable to what they had in the past. That is absolutely a goal that we want to achieve. So we have to find ways to make that work. But I tell you, the most frustrating thing is that the online shopping and enrolling is not going the way it should.
I want to get to that because I spoke about that with Congressman Cummings, who, as you know, is a ranking member of the House Oversight and Reform Committee. They had a hearing yesterday on that. But before we get to that, your colleague, Senator Mary Landrieu, has the Keep Your Plan proposal that she's putting forward, and she's garnering support, particularly among Democrats. She got Senator Dianne Feinstein yesterday, and according to news reports today, she's got Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat from Oregon, on board. What are your thoughts about that bill, and will you co-sponsor it?
Well, I haven't read it, and I'd like to read bills before I make a commitment on it. I also want to listen to the president. Our objective is to make sure people have coverage and have affordable coverage. There are certain advantages to making sure that those policies conform to the protections that are now in law against pre-existing conditions, no caps, that they cover essential services. So we want to make sure people have quality insurance. We also want to make sure it's affordable. We want to make sure it meets their needs. So with that in mind, we know that there may need to be adjustments, and we'll take a look at that.
Senator, I told Congressman Cardin in the last half hour, I have been critical of Republicans as well for not coming up with a very viable option if they're opposed to the Affordable Care Act and not being specific about enough things right in there. But having said that, if you eliminate Republicans entirely from this discussion and you just look at the 12-page memo that came from CGI that CNN actually had on their page in early September, outlining as a punch list some many obstacles that would prevent October 1st from being a good rollout date, and the fact that that went ahead anyway, Senator, nobody's being held to account for that.
They have to be held accountable. I agree with your concern here. Our first priority, of course, is get it fixed, get people enrolled, not only those who've lost coverage, but those who don't have coverage today. That's our first priority. But I couldn't agree with you more. It's unacceptable what happened. There's got to be accountability. There was a lot of public money spent on implementing this law, and the public has a right to demand that those who did not perform as expected are held accountable.
But the language we hear, and I hear you saying that, Senator, and that sounds like what the direction we should head in, but what you hear continually from Secretary Sebelius or from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, Ms. Marilyn Tavener and others, let's move forward. No, sometimes we can't move forward until we address what happened now.
You're right. I mean, we need to know. Again, the first priority is to make sure people get coverage. The second, and equally important, is to make sure that we find out what went wrong, who was responsible, and hold those people accountable.
Well, Senator, the other issue that came up today, we had Dr. Joshua Sharfstein, our own health secretary here on WBAL this morning, reacting to the federal numbers that came out yesterday, and specifically looking at Maryland and the fact that we have been hearing reports from Maryland Health Connections of some 4,500 people that have been signed up. However, the federal number is 1,200. And Dr. Sharfstein's response to that, Senator, was that they were counting Medicaid as well as private insurers in the number. Well, if the federal government isn't counting it that way, we're not even on the same page with them. What's going on, Senator?
Well, because we have a state-run exchange. We're not under the federal system. Maryland has done a very effective job in enrolling people in the Medicaid expansion, which is very important. These are low-income families that will get coverage under the Affordable Care Act under Medicaid. The state has not gotten the numbers and the service levels that should be on the exchange. So that is a clear problem that Maryland has not performed as we would expect, and there is an issue of accountability there also.
What I'm saying, though, Senator, is it doesn't inspire confidence in my callers, the people who are calling my show on a regular basis, who have no, there's no partisan issue here. When they hear different numbers coming from the federal government and the state government, they don't know what's going on.
Well, they're a good point. But remember that the Affordable Care Act expanded coverage. Every American has access to affordable health care. But for those below a certain income level, there was an expansion of the medical assistance program, and Maryland took full advantage of that. I don't know the exact numbers. I think it's somewhere close to 100,000 that we expect will enroll in Medicaid expansion. Maryland's hit those numbers pretty well, and those low-income families will be covered who were not covered before as a result of the Affordable Care Act, not through the health exchanges, but through the state-run medical assistance program. In regards to the state-run exchange, which takes care of the individuals who have income too high to qualify for medical assistance, many of whom, by the way, will be entitled to help in paying their premiums under the Affordable Care Act, the state exchange has not performed the way it should have.
Senator, I have to ask you about young people, because without the 20-somethings in this, the math just gets to be very, very difficult when it comes to the pricing of these particular policies. How do you, particularly with young people who are so adept, you know, with technology and they see all these problems, how do you see yourself or others capturing them and getting them to get involved with this when they're seeing all these nightmarish things going on?
Well, I mean, the key here is to direct them to the online services, but they have to be at a level that works, so
right,
that they shop and see the values. So it's fortunately, the open enrollment period for this year is through March, so that we still have plenty of time to get their attention. The experience in Massachusetts that went to a universal system was that people enrolled near the deadline. So there's no reason to believe that we can't reach numbers that are acceptable on young people enrolling in the plan, but it will only be done if we can get the online services at a service level for shopping and enrolling that we need to. We're not there yet. We're not even close in reaching that service level that we need. So, I mean, these are valid questions. The good news, and really the good news, is the fundamentals are sound. For a young person, they're going to find that there is very affordable insurance available to them that will cover their needs if they get sick or they're involved in an injury, that it is based upon age, so they get the advantage of being young because their premiums will be lower. If they are low-income wage earners, there is available help for them to make sure it's affordable premiums. So that's the good news, and we have a variety of plans. It's not just one. There's numerous plans that are available to meet all types of needs. So we think when young people are exposed to that, they're going to say, gee, this is pretty good. This is a pretty good opportunity to make sure that we don't become a burden to our family if we're involved in an accident or we get sick. So we think we'll reach the numbers, but it's very frustrating right now knowing that the fundamentals are sound, but that the way to enroll is not at what we would have expected it to be.
Senator, finally, a question for you. Just, it's really not even politics as much as it's just being an American. One of the things that we rely on is being able to trust the things we hear from elected officials as well as the leader of the free world, our president. And in the clearest way, the whole promise of keeping your plan if you wanted to, by any stretch of the imagination, has been seen not to be true. How do you repair that? I mean, right now the president's numbers are tanking. How do you repair that when it looks like basically the American people weren't told the truth?
Well, you know, clearly for the overwhelming majority of Americans, the only thing they'll see different under the Affordable Care Act is the fact that they're going to see the growth rate of their premiums decline. They're going to find that the fact that they had to pay for people who are uninsured will become a thing of the past as time moves forward, and there's certain protections that are now in law. So for the vast majority, what we're talking about basically is the individual insurance marketplace, where we had a grandfather's clause, but it only applied to those insurance policies that weren't changed during the last 3 years. Over the last 3 years, insurance companies have changed these plans. Therefore, they no longer are eligible for the grandfather clause. So we are talking about a market where people aren't in for a long period of time. They go in and out of the individual market based upon their employment and insurance that's offered through their employment. So it's absolutely, you're correct. There are people who are being disadvantaged. We talked about that from the beginning. I support making sure that they are not disadvantaged by the passage of the Affordable Care Act. We may very well need to make some changes in the plans to, so that they are protected. So I think with the message the president was trying to get across to the vast majority of Americans is that this plan will only benefit them by stabilizing premiums and having everyone in the system. And for most Americans, that's certainly true.
Senator, once again, this is the final question, but to go with that last statement you made, take the 5% off the table. The other 95%, according to most polls who haven't been affected by this at all, they now don't believe the president. That's my point to you, is they've lost the ability to trust the truth that's coming out of the White House.
Right. Well, in all fairness, I've never seen more partisan spins on a plan, both from both sides of the aisle. And the American people, once they learn what's in the plan, it's going to become a lot more popular. And I think the president will get the credit for getting this done that he deserves. We've seen the same thing occur when Social Security was rolled out, when Medicare was rolled out. There was this initial partisan division in the country that fueled a public opinion that didn't really reflect a real knowledge of what was being done. I think over time that will be known. And Americans will be proud that we have a system that allows every American to have access to affordable quality health care, and that health care is a right, not a privilege. I think that over time, this plan will become much more popular, and the president will get the credit he deserves.
Senator Ben Cardin, thank you so much for your time, sir. Thank you.
Good talking to you. Thanks.